Okay.
Verse 3 of 1 Peter chapter 1 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, which according to His abundant mercy hath begotten us again unto the lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to an inheritance incorruptible and undefiled, that fadeth not away, reserved in heaven for you, who are kept by the power of God through faith unto salvation, ready to be revealed in the last time. Wherein ye greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, you're in heaviness through manifold temptations. That the trial of your faith, being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire, might be found in the praise and honor and glory at the appearing of Jesus Christ." I don't know if you remember knocking on doors in Pinyin, Pastor, but that guy that I was talking to that I said, "Man, I wish I'd have talked to more."
Yeah.
Well, I got to talk to him more. He's a Mormon. And Dave was talking about being Mormons, what they believe and everything, and he asked me what I believe. And you know, that's what a Christian really believes, that Jesus Christ was resurrected.
Yeah.
And without His resurrection, it really doesn't matter how good you could be or what you do to your community or do to other people. If you don't believe that Jesus Christ died and rose again after the third day, you don't have it.
Yeah, that's right.
And it says in verse 4 that we have an inheritance. And in Romans 8:14, it says, "For as many as are led by the Spirit of God, they are the sons of God. For ye have not received the spirit of bondage again to fear, but ye have received the spirit of adoption, whereby we cry, Abba, Father. The Spirit itself beareth witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ, if so be that we suffer with Him, that we may be also glorified together. For I reckon that the sufferings of this present time are not worthy to be compared with the glory that shall be revealed in us." It says that we are His children, and we're heirs of God, and joint heirs with Jesus Christ. But it also says, if we suffer. And I don't know about y'all, but I don't like to suffer. And I don't think a lot of people do. But we talked about it in Sunday. Dave talked about it in Sunday school this morning. You know, the martyrs, they suffered. The disciples, they suffered. And I'm not talking about they went without food for a day or two. They suffered. They died horrible deaths.
Yeah.
They suffered for the cause of Christ. So we have an inheritance. God's promised us something. But we got to go through some stuff too.
Amen.
It says that our inheritance is incorruptible. It's imperishable. It's indestructible. That it'll never go away. It says that it's undefiled. It's morally untainted. You can't mess it up. Our inheritance is forever. It's for eternity. It also says that it fadeth not away. It's not subject to the ravages of time. It's not going to rust. It's not going to deteriorate. It's not going to rot. It's going to last forever. It's going to last through eternity. That's what our inheritance is. And as Christians, we ought to believe this, and we do believe this if we're really Christians. And it says it's reserved. It's reserved. It is preserved in the past and still is in heaven. That means it's for all time. It's just not for a while. That our inheritance is preserved. In verse 5, it says it's kept by the power of God. What does that mean? It says that we are secure because we are continually guarded by God. God holds us in the palm of His hand, and nobody can pluck us out. That we have an inheritance that is kept by God. Does everybody believe that?
Amen.
Does everybody believe that God has saved us? He's kept us and has preserved us. Our inheritance cannot be taken away. Does everybody believe that?
Amen.
Then why don't we believe God? You see, in verse 6 it says, "Wherein we greatly rejoice, though now for a season, if need be, ye are in heaviness through manifold temptations." And heaviness means distress. I watched that show. I've watched that show, Deadliest Catch, because I think it's kind of neat that they go out there and brave all these storms and stuff, and they live through of it. Sometimes people don't live through it, but it's a dangerous job. And the other day I was watching it, and they had a ship throw out a distress call. You know what distress means? We're sinking. We need help. Distress means worry, anxious, suffering, to cause pain. Distress is not something that, oh, I woke up and, man, I had to go out in the car and it was raining and I got wet and I had to come back in and it was terrible. That's not distress. Distress is mean there's something real bad things happening. It says that the trial of your faith, verse 7 says that the trial of your faith. Now, my Bible and the thing says trial means genuineness. I wish to just say genuine, because I can say that a lot better than genuineness. That the genuineness of your faith. What does that mean? Well, I know a lot of Christians that the only time they pray, is when they're in distress. They say they're Christians, they don't walk like Christ, but if they get in a problem, boy, they're calling on God to help them. We need to call on God every day. But the genuineness of your faith is more precious than gold.
Amen.
That means that I really believe this thing called Christianity, that I really believe that God's in control, that I really believe that I have the faith that God's talking about right here. And it says that the trial of your faith being much more precious than of gold that perisheth, though it be tried with fire. That tried means, in my Bible, it means tested. It means I'm going to put you through some fire. We had Mr. Siegfried at the village that used to say that the only thing wrong with a living sacrifice is when the flames get hot, we untie ourselves. And that's true. That's very true. But you know what? If we're going to live a Christian faith that's going to be blessed by God, we're going to go through some fire. Amen. He's going to test our faith because He wants to get us strong in our faith. He wants us to be able to have genuine faith. He says, do you really trust God? Or do we just say that we trust God? Let's see what faith really means. In Hebrews 11:1, it says, now faith is the substance of things hoped for, the evidence of things not seen. You know, Thomas was a disciple, but he said he wouldn't believe unless he saw. He didn't believe unless he saw it. Now, we all say we're going to heaven, that we believe in God and we believe in heaven. But has anybody seen God that's in here? Has anybody seen heaven? Then how can you believe you're going there? How can you tell somebody about heaven? You've never been there. How can you tell somebody about God? You've never seen Him.
I have a picture of it. It's right here.
So where is your faith? I mean, really, where is your faith? Hebrews 11:6 says, but without faith it is impossible to please Him. Are you pleasing God? Are you believing in Him? Are you believing things that are not seen? Abraham said, he believed God. Therefore, it was imputed unto him for righteousness. You know what? I believe God. I believe God saved me. In fact, I know He saved me. He changed me. I've been born again. You know why? Because I'm not the person I was before. I need to change a lot of things in my life. I know. But I am not the person that I used to be. Thank God for that. Because of what His Son did on the cross for me. That He paid my sin debt. That He did go on the tomb for 3 days. And He did resurrect on the third day. And He's sitting at the right hand of the Father. I know that. I've not seen it, but I know it. I've got that much faith. Mark 11:22-24 says, have faith in God. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith... Now, I don't know about y'all, but I read that a lot. And Friday when I was putting this together, I just saw something that just stuck out. Let me read it again for you. For verily I say unto you, that whosoever shall say unto this mountain, Be thou removed, and be thou cast into the sea, and shall not doubt in his heart, but shall believe that those things which he saith, which we say, shall come to pass, he shall have whatsoever he saith. You know what we say? God's going to do something, but oh my God, I don't know if God's going to do it. I just don't know. You killed it. You killed whatever you was praying for. You killed it. Turn over to Luke 8, please, because I want y'all to see this. Luke 8. We're going to start in verse 41. And behold, there came a man named Jairus, and he was a ruler of the synagogue. And he fell down at Jesus' feet and besought him that he would come into his house. For he had only one daughter, about 12 years of age, and she lay a dying. But as he went the people thronged him. And a woman having an issue of blood 12 years, which had spent all her living upon physicians, neither could be healed of any, came behind him and touched the border of his garment, and immediately her issue of blood stanched. And Jesus said, Who touched me? When all denied, Peter and they that were with him said, Master, the multitude thronged thee and pressed thee, and sayest thou, Who touched me? And Jesus said, Somebody hath touched me, for I perceive that virtue has gone out of me. And when a woman saw that she was not hid, she came trembling and falling down before him. She declared unto him before all the people for what cause she had touched him, and how she was healed immediately. And he said unto her, Daughter, be of good comfort. Thy faith, the physician do anything, but the faith did, have made thee whole. Go in peace. While he yet spake, there cometh one from the ruler of the synagogue's house, saying to him, Thy daughter is dead, trouble not the master. But when Jesus heard it, he answered him, saying, Fear not, believe only, she shall be made whole. And when he came into the house, he suffered no man to go in, save Peter, James, and John, and the father and the mother of the maiden. Why didn't he take Thomas? Why didn't he take any of the other disciples? Notice throughout the Gospels that he only took those three anywhere he went where there was going to be a miracle. Because they had a little bit of faith. The rest of them didn't. And all wept and bewailed her, but he said, Weep not, she is not dead, but sleepeth. And they laughed him to scorn, knowing that she was dead. And he put them all out, and took her by the hand, and called, saying, Maid, arise. And her spirit came again. And she arose straightway, and he commanded to give her meat. And that's something? That he got everybody that didn't believe out of there. And he only took the three disciples that had a little bit of faith. You know why? It takes faith to see a miracle. If you don't have faith that you're going to see a miracle, you're never going to see a miracle. God's power is still, it hadn't diminished at all. In fact, the Bible says Jesus Christ is the same day, yesterday, today, and forever. God hasn't changed. And Malachi says, I am the Lord, I change not. So the miracles are still available, it's just that everybody doubts. And everybody says that, oh, I prayed for God, but I don't know if he's going to do it. Well, you just killed it. You just killed your faith. Notice that Jesus didn't hang around people without great faith. And if you're going to have great faith in your life, you need to hang around people with great faith. When God called Abraham away from his family, first of all, they was idolaters. And number two, they didn't believe in God and they didn't have any faith in God. So why are you going to hang around people that's going to lead you to hell? Why are you going to hang around that nobody's going to see a miracle in your life? You got to hang around people that really have faith in God, that really believe God. Let's go to 1 Peter again. But let's go over a couple of chapters to chapter 4. Starting in verse 12. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial, which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you. But what? Rejoice. But be glad, inasmuch as ye are partakers of Christ's sufferings. There's that word again that we don't like. That when His glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. I want to tell you who's going to be real happy. Well, he's real happy right now, but we're going to see this one day when we get to heaven. I want to tell you something. Job's going to be real happy. You know what? David's going to be real happy. Paul's going to be real happy. They all suffered. Joseph's going to be real happy that they didn't quit, that they didn't turn around, that they had enough faith that they was going to do what God wanted them to do. That's going to make us with great joy if we do what God wants us to do, no matter what kind of trial is in our life. Now let's turn over to 1 Peter 5. Verse 10. Now, before this, Peter's telling everybody to submit yourself to the elder, because God resisteth the proud and giveth grace to the humble. It says, humble yourselves therefore in the mighty hand of God, casting all your care upon Him, for He careth for you. We're supposed to cast our care on Him. It says, be sober, be vigilant. I said it right this time. Vigilant. I hope. Because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about seeking whom he may devour, whom resist steadfast in the faith. In faith. Knowing that the same afflictions are accomplished in your brethren that are in the world. But the God of all grace, who has called us into the eternal glory of Christ Jesus, after that ye have suffered, there's that word again, a while, make you perfect. Now, that word perfect, I looked it up, and it means that you have conviction of God's purpose for you. That God is sovereign, He's in control, and this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. That Peter said, you know what, I want to go fishing, I want to get out of here, but God told me to go and talk to these people. I'm supposed to preach the gospel. So with boldness they spoke. And they said, you know what, I'm not going to listen to you. I'm not going to do what you tell me to do. I'm going to do what God tells me to do. And I'm going to listen to God with conviction. And it says established, to put in a condition that is not easily changed. It doesn't matter what the world thinks. It doesn't matter what anybody else says. I care what God says, and I'm going to do what God tells me to do. It says strengthened, to confirm in spiritual knowledge and power. Whose power? God's power. With Him we could do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. Not my power, but God's power.
Amen.
And it said settle. To bring or come to an agreement or a decision. I've decided to follow Jesus. Don't matter what happens to me, I've decided to follow Jesus. So that brings new meaning to faith for me. Because, see, a lot of people say that we have faith, but has it ever been really tried? Have you really been through some fire? Because there's a place over there in Isaiah where it says that though the waters may come against you, though a flood may come against you, though fire may kindle against you, I'm going to be there, I'm going to protect you. I love that. I told you why I loved it. See, God says that I love you. God says I love you enough that I want you to be adopted in my family.
Amen.
And I've adopted you, and you have an inheritance nobody can touch, nobody can mess with. I'll tell you what, there's going to be so much splendor up here, you're going to walk on streets of gold. That's how beautiful it is up here, because gold's worthless up here. But I'm going to try you while you're here on earth. You know, we talk about all these battles in our lives and our storms of our lives, but can I tell you something? I have never, and praise God for this, I've never had to spend a night in hospital. Praise God for that. There are some people in here that's had some muddy nights in hospitals. Now that's a trial. That's a storm. There's been some times when I might have went without food, but it was before I got saved. And I was buying other things other than food. Can I tell you something? I've lost a little weight since before I went to Washington. But I eat good. I eat real good. I don't know what people that are in foreign countries who have to sneak around to go to a church service is like. Who, if they get caught, they may get thrown in jail. They may get killed. I don't know anything about that. I've never had to swim a river to get a Bible to somebody, like Pastor DeWitt was talking about, and Myanmar. I don't know what persecution is really like. I tell you what, I know what overseas is like. And when I got back home from the overseas the first time, when I hit the ground, I kissed the ground when I got back to America. It was at DFW, but you know, I was in Texas. So how's your faith? Do you really believe God? Do you really believe God's in control? Do you really believe that God loves us? Amen. Do you really believe that you have an inheritance? Because everybody says, oh, I believe in heaven and I'm going there. But do you really believe God? Do you believe that God can take care of your needs?
Yes, sir.
Oh, but I don't know. You see, that doubt cancels everything. And let me tell you something. If you try to do something, God's going to say, okay, you do it. He's going to stand back and say, when you get finished, I'll fix it for you. But until then, you're still going to screw it up. You see, is your faith genuine?
Amen.
Now, does that mean you could screw something up and God's going to fix it every time?
No.
He has for me. Because, man, I screw things up all the time. But usually it's I'm trying to do it in my own power, not His. If you really trust, if you have genuine faith, that this is what Peter's trying to tell us. He said, once you figure this out, once you have real faith in God, you know, when Jesus told Peter, when you be converted, strengthen your brethren. When you really get converted. Not when you just say you're going to follow me, not when you're doing this, but you really, really believe with all your heart. And you really get it down settled. When you get it settled in your heart, then you'll follow me. And it doesn't matter what's going through. You know what Jesus told Peter when you was young? You clothed yourself, you went where you want to, but when you're old, they're gonna gird you and take you where you don't want to go. Peter said, you know what? I'm going.
Yeah, amen.
I'm going because, you know what? I have an inheritance.
Yeah.
And it's real. And my faith is in God. And God knows where I'm at. And God knows what I'm doing. So I have genuine faith. Did you know what about all these disciples? All but John was martyred. Paul lost his head. None of them denounced Christ. Not even doubting Thomas. None of them denounced him when they could have said, you know what, you just give up, just denounce him and I'm not going to put you through this stuff. You see, their faith was tried. They had genuine faith. You know where God's trying to get all of us? He's trying to get us to where we have genuine faith. That we really trust Him no matter what's going on in our lives. Now, I saw this the other day. For I don't know how long, maybe 3 weeks, I've been opening up my Bible and it says, watch and pray. 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 And in my study Bible, it says this: prayer is the better part of valor when preserving for Christ under pressure. It says prayer alone will enable one to stand before the returning of the Son of Man when those all around are falling, whether in condemnation before Christ or to the temptation to deny Christ on the trials of the hour. It's talking about the last days. And it also says in Luke 18 that men ought always to pray and faint not. And it's at verse 8, that's verse 1. In verse 8 it says, I tell you that he will avenge them speedily. Nevertheless, when the Son of Man cometh, shall he find faith on the earth. You know what's wrong with us? We have faith in jobs. We have faith in retirement. We have faith in 401ks. We have faith in all these things that give us pleasure, that gives us the things of this world. But I don't know too many people when they get to heaven say, hey, I want a little bit bigger place. My 401k was bigger than this. Or I know a lot of people that retired expecting that they was going to live a real easy life, and then all of a sudden their retirement was gone because the stock market crashed. Where's your faith now? We put our faith and trust in so many things other than God that when we lose something, it's just the end of the world. I have an inheritance.
Amen.
And nobody can take that 401k away from me. No, it ain't going to diminish. Nobody could say, well, we ran out of money. It's there forever, for eternity. So my faith and my trust ought to be in God. But can I tell you something? There's times when I didn't trust. There's times when my faith was wavering. There's times in my life that I tried to get it and do it on my own. And it didn't work out. You see, God wants us to believe Him. God wants us to rely on Him. And God wants us to really truly believe this book and what it says. There's a song that says, we're standing on the promises of God. Are we really? I mean, really, are we? Are we really standing on the promises of God? Or are we just going through the motions, standing on, well, I get this paycheck on such and such a day, and everything's fine. And all my bills are paid because I get this check. Can I tell you something? When I was making $1,400 a week plus all my expenses, I didn't pay for nothing. I ate good. My boss gave me Starbucks. We got a break in the morning and a break in the evening. I got Starbucks every both breaks. I had it made. It's easy to say, you know what? I trust God. But when God tells you to quit your job and go to a foreign land, New York is a foreign land to me. New York City is the closest thing you're going to get to overseas without going overseas. You got to have faith. And it's got to be real faith. It's got to be genuine. So we need to have genuine faith. We need to really believe God. And we also got to understand that the things that we call trials, the things that we call storms sometimes, are nothing. There's people in this world that really have some storms. And there's people in this world that really have some trials. We need to believe that God is still the God of old.
Amen.
That He hasn't changed. And He's still a miracle-working God. He proved He was a miracle-working God when He saved me. And I'm so thankful that there's no death tax. When I get to heaven, there's nothing going to be taken away from me. I ain't going to owe anything. I'm going to owe something. I'm going to owe Jesus a lot of thank yous.
Yeah.
So we need to have real, genuine faith. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank You so much for this day. I thank You, Lord, for salvation. I thank You so much for Your Word. We'd be lost without it. And Lord, I thank You for real faith. That we could, that the men in this Bible that had real faith stopped the mouths of lions. They've stopped the fire from burning them. Lord, that they've done so many great things because they had faith in you. And Lord, you saw them through. Lord, I pray that you save, see each and every one of us through. And I can't wait to get to heaven to see those streets of gold. But more than anything else in the world, Lord, I want to say, Jesus, let's go walk in the garden. I want to finish my conversation. Lord, I pray that you would bless this evening. Bless us. Lord, I thank you so much for hearing the prayers of this church. I lift up every member and every trial or storm that people are going through, and I pray that you bless in a mighty way. And we thank you for it. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you, Tracy. Let's stand. Let's have an invitation. Appreciate again, Master John Tate. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. I have decided to follow Jesus. No turning back, no turning back. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. Though none go with me, still I will follow. No turning back, no turning back. The world behind me, the cross before me. The world behind me, the cross before me.